so I don't have to stress out trying to multitask in there. I don't know why, just a lot to think about at one time. But thank you, Roger, for coming in. And then thank you guys for tuning in with us. If you have any Bible questions or any comments, anything that you would like us to talk about, we will try our best. Pastor Aaron is the main talker of the bunch, so give us grace. Mm-hmm. Give us grace. I try to do my best, okay? But he is definitely the talker of the group. So we will try our best to find answers, to discuss any questions that you all have or topics that you have. Awesome. Miss Lisa Ashbaugh from Hardin County. So she said, Hardin County, yay. So representing.
Yep. Everybody's going back to school today.
Yeah.
A lot of people, Hardin County, Grayson County, they're all back in business.
That's true. Yeah. I talked to a few kids from Grayson County yesterday and asked them if they were excited to go back, and they said, actually, yes. They said, I'm starting to get sick of the snow days. So I wonder if that's like a common answer amongst the kids.
I would say it is, yeah.
Or
when you start thinking about it having to extend it at the end of the year, that end of the summer, you don't want that. So
yeah, at that point, they're
a day
like,
or two is nice, but
2 weeks, we're good. We're good for the rest of the year now. Yeah. And plus, it wasn't really the good snow that they got to really play in a whole lot. Like, I know a lot of people went sledding because it's so slick, but, I mean, mm-hmm. there's so much ice, it's not like they could build snowmans. I saw people, did you all see people building, like, ice snowmans? Like,
yeah, with the big chunks of ice.
Pieces of ice. It was pretty sad. But happy.
Looked like Legos.
Yeah, it did. It really did. So we do have a few announcements. We'll move on to that this morning. Not many. So if you do have some announcements you want us to get out there, make sure to email us or contact us. Our number is 270-257-2689. And our email is studio1@box2radio.com. But make sure that you do, if you don't have anywhere else to be, or if you just are able to join and visit us on Sunday, February 22nd, Brother Waleed Zaru will be preaching, and he will be bringing a word, and he just has a powerful testimony and a lot of love for the body of Christ. So it's going to be a great time. Many of you have probably heard him a time or two on the broadcast. He usually calls in from time to time and just has a heart for this radio station and has shared part of his powerful testimony on the radio. And we're just excited to be with him and his wife, Amy, on February 22nd. So make sure that you come out and join us on that day. And stay tuned. I'm sure that he will mention this, but following him coming and teaching, bringing the word, he will be doing an evangelism training. And he has also written a book that he'll talk about as well, to kind of help just the average everyday Christian that maybe you don't feel very equipped for evangelizing, but you have questions and you want to be better about just witnessing to people in the ways that you're able to. Because everybody's different. Everybody, you know, we're all going to reach different people. But I think it's going to be a great time. That'll be sometime around April when he will do that. So stay tuned for that. If you want to be a part of it, we'll get more information out closer to time. And then seems the March 13th, 14th weekend is a popular one. So mark your calendars for, of course, the youth rally that's coming up here at Bethel Fellowship. We will have that March 14th. That's a Saturday. And that's open to all youth from any churches. Just bring them on. And it's just going to be a good time in the presence of the Lord. And then also there's a few other events. March 14th, Saturday. Saturday, March 14th. And I'm sure the time and everything we'll be announcing that shortly, more details to come on it. But, also on that same weekend, there is an event going on at, Restoration Place in Hardinsburg there with Miss Jeannie Shelburne. She had some more info on that, but there's two different events. One they're having on Friday the 13th, so coming up here soon. And I believe that one is their it's like almost like a special needs event put on by, it's like a prom or something like that. It's called Night to Shine. And similar to, I know they've called it Star Prom before. They've done that there at Potter's Hope in Litchfield. I'm not sure if they've teamed up with the Tim Tebow Foundation, but this one is really sponsored and backed by Tim Tebow. And they're at Hardinsburg. So keep an eye out for that if you want to be a part of that. That's Friday the 13th. And then March the 13th, they are having another event. And I think it's some sort of resource fair that they're having there at Restoration Place in Hardinsburg. So just keep your eye open for one of these events, March 13th, 14th weekend, 13th and the 14th there in Litchfield as well. There is a ladies conference. It's called Walking Through Seasons of Life. And guest speakers, Friday, guest speaker will be Julie Collins, and she is an author and speaker. And then Saturday will be our very own frequent guest that we've had here, Les N. Downs. She will be leading worship and, I believe, bringing a word as well on the Saturday there in Litchfield at Clarkson Baptist Church. So that's March 13th and 14th, Walking Through Seasons of Life. So that's all the announcements that we have. Again, these are in the Litchfield, Hardinsburg areas. But if you guys have any events going on in Owensboro or Hinesville area, let us know, and we can also announce those events as well for those listeners out there.
Okay.
So,
Brother Dwayne Kidd, he texted in and said he's looking to put together a summer concert series type thing for Christian groups. A lot of towns have that. But, you know, there's secular groups or, you know, bluegrass, things like that, you know. And he said, you know, he's looking to put something together for Christian groups in his area. So he's hoping to do that in August and September. He said he's already got someone scheduled for July the 4th weekend. It won't be an offering or anything like that, you know. So he's just looking for groups that, you know, want to play some music and put on something for the community.
Awesome.
So he said, if you're interested, if you have a group and you're interested in being a part of that, you know, get a hold of him. Or I guess you can contact the station here, and then we'll get you in touch.
I'll keep that in mind because we've had a few different music groups call the station and talk about maybe us playing their music or they're just trying to make connections with people.
Yeah.
So I'll keep that in mind, Brother Kidd. I'll send them your way if they're looking for opportunities like that. And so you would be surprised, though. I believe there's a lot of groups that just have a heart to worship, and they're not about just making the money.
Yeah.
But, man, there are a lot of groups that are just, if they come anywhere for even a few hours, just outrageous, the pricing. Yeah. So I pray that the right ones get connected with Brother Kidd.
Yeah, I don't think he's interested in those groups.
Yeah, but it's just...
Somebody, you know, has a heart for worship.
Exactly, exactly.
For ministry.
And you would be surprised. I mean, some that you would think wouldn't be that pricey. I just pray the Lord deals with every heart of the ones that...
Cause I think that's a great idea, putting that together.
It is, because, that's a great idea.
A lot of communities have that, and they are a good opportunity to get together and meet people and hang out and things like that. But let's not let the devil have all that.
Yeah.
Let's do it ourselves.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
It's great.
It is like we've kind of in the church a lot of times kept our events inside of the building and not really gone out into the community. But I know that, you know, when you do start to come out into the community, people just gather. Like it doesn't matter who the people are. They see something's happening and they want to know what's going on. So they're going to come and at least seeds be sown. So good seed. Amen. Well,
good opportunity for a food truck too.
Yeah. Lots of food trucks.
I love a good food truck.
I think when we went through there before, maybe to the Miss Renee's Bible study, to her church, there was some sort of event going on in their little town area, like where the close to the church, the Way Church, I think. I think they're kind of in that, the middle of the town square type area. But I don't remember what event was going on. I don't think it was a Christian event. So I'm here for the Christian groups.
Yeah.
So
Brother Dwayne says, oh, yes, to food trucks.
There were lots of food trucks
there. We're on the
there,
same page.
So I know that
No, it's about
available.
Ministry. It's not about food trucks. It's about ministry.
Hey, but
the food trucks is a bonus.
It draws them. It casts the net. It draws them in. So, amen. Well, that's great. Well, let's see.
I've noticed that the quality of the food truck increases with the amount of sweating that's taking place inside by the people that work there.
Well, maybe like September.
Yeah.
Late September or something.
There'd be a lot of sweating going on there.
Yeah. It used to, sometimes in September, wasn't too hot. It was starting to get cool, but I guess now it's more October. Brother Robbie said he has a statement. We've been to a lot of churches when the singers keep a painful, hurting look on their faces is a sign of no true joy. But Bethel has smilers while singing, and that's a great sign. Thankful to serve with people who love God in the home at Bethel. That's funny. Well, that's a good sign. I would agree. If you look upset and angry while you're worshiping the Lord, I think there should, it'll change.
I know what he's talking about.
So, amen.
Some people
that.
Look like they're constipated while they're singing.
I feel like that's kind of what he was describing without saying it. Yeah, that was a good. No, that we're thankful to have you too, Brother Robbie, and I agree. I think it's a blessing to see the joy on people, mm-hmm. to be able to see it all over.
I have a special treat because Sarah. Some what are those things that you wear when you hold the baby?
The carrier.
The carrier like things. And she usually has hers little fellow with her.
With Jensen
and we can't. He's decided that he wants to check out Todd Mingus, and he just watches Todd, and so it's hard to not have a smile on your face when you're watching.
I know
that
it.
Little one.
I normally have my eyes closed. I just can't help it most of the time, but whenever I do open them, sometimes. I don't know why. A lot of times when I open my eyes and I've been moving, I somehow shift towards you guys. I'm like facing the right, and I don't know how it happened, but I open my eyes and just there you all are. And a lot of times I see the baby, and he's so cute over there.
We are blessed with a lot of little ones now.
Brother Robbie said, Jason, you're completely correct about that describing that look on people's face. Oh, Lord. Oh, one more announcement. Speaking of Brother Todd, his mm-hmm. awesome wife, Miss Sue, chimed in that the Remnant store will be closed until further notice.
Oh, yeah, they had some leak in the ceiling.
Ice
there.
Damage, yeah.
Yeah, that ice built up.
Our post office down the road, boy, they had a bad one, too. Yeah. I don't know what. Why that causes it, but...
That's so sad.
Yeah.
We very much appreciate Miss Sue and all that she does with the Remnant Store. It is mm-hmm. a blessing. Mm-hmm. But believing, hopefully, we'll be able to get everything back to mm-hmm. how it needs to be. So during that time, hopefully, Miss Sue, you can enjoy some or have some rest. I don't know how much rest you'll have.
I know. I wonder if she's having to clean up.
I know. Yeah. But hopefully that gets back to how it needs to be soon, because it's such a blessing to everyone. So, mm-hmm. but just remember that if you're tuned in and you make plans usually to go to the Remnant store Thursday or Saturdays, we will let you guys know whenever that's up and going again. So thank you, Miss Sue. I think that's it. Miss Lisa said she always wanted to have a concert like that, just needed to find a place. So
go.
It is a blessing if you have connections for a space.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
I think we should help Brother Kid pull it off.
Yeah.
How far is it to Bonnyville from?
Seems like an hour and 45 minutes, or is that too long?
No,
it's not that long, is it?
No, because it takes me an hour and...
Is it Bonnyville or Beulahville? That's
Bonnyville.
Okay. I get those two mixed up. They're totally opposite directions, but I get them mixed up.
That reminds me of Beulah Land, Beulahville. Yeah, I'm not sure. I know it's over an hour, but probably not much more.
Well, for good singing, it's worth it.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
I'm looking forward to that.
Well, sounds great. Excited to hear more information on it. I guess let's jump into the Bible study with what time we have left here. We should still be in chapter 12, so we're going to start in verse 20. My heading in my Bible is God Smites Herod. I hate to say I kind of like the sound of that. That sounds bad, but just how bad of a guy Herod.
Acts 12?
yes, Acts 12, verse 20. Mm-hmm.
For your information, it's 52 minutes to get to Bonnieville from here, but...
so that'd be about 40 minutes for me.
Not bad. I don't know why it felt like longer. Probably because I would maybe miss my turn or something. Mm-hmm. Have to reroute.
Mm-hmm. It feels longer when you're on country roads.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does.
Do you prefer to drive on country roads or interstate?
I like to do country roads.
I like parkways. The best. Parkway. Any parkway is better than any of those, but probably.
I do too. I get distracted easy and lose track of what's going on and where I'm at.
It's easy. It's too fast for me sometimes on interstate, but I don't like the curviness of a lot of the country roads. So.
All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead with Herod.
Now, got me thinking. Now, before we do move on, my favorite, I think, is the Bluegrass Parkway. It's the Bluegrass Parkway heading towards,
Lexington?
Like, Eastern Kentucky.
Lexington? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even Somerset, which it's not.
That's Cumberland.
Cumberland. Yeah. The Cumberland Parkway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not far past Lexington, but it's beautiful out there. Mm-hmm. It's a good little scenic drive. Alrighty, well, so we're in chapter 12, verse 20. Does anybody want to read?
I can.
Okay.
Acts 12, verse 20. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king, by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Would you like to stop there?
In my Bible, before it goes to the next, it reads verse 25.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the end of the chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark.
So I do think we may have mentioned this because we started to talk about, it talked about the prophets of this time. And we did start to talk about that. We talked a lot about prophecy on Friday. But I do think that, you know, it's just interesting to read. We see what Herod, you know, everything that he definitely never opened his eyes and really let the gospel change him. And we see mm-hmm. what his end is here. Like, I mean,
well, and the very fact that he didn't give God the glory.
He didn't give God the glory. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
like,
we see
just
what
like
happened.
It said. Yeah, that's what happened. So it's just a good reminder. Yeah,
you can't take God's glory.
Don't try to take the glory. Yeah. And I mean, we know the one who has tried to do that the most, I would say, is Satan himself. And we know what is written of his mm-hmm. destiny too. And it makes me think about that too. You know, even though this seems terrible, what happened to Herod, I mean, imagine what's coming after. Imagine, you know, yesterday Pastor Aaron was talking a lot about the afterlife, whether heaven or hell. But imagine how bad this sounds, but even how more intense it will be for eternity. So just a good reminder to not try to take the glory and submit to the Lord this day. Choose ye this day who you will serve. Amen.
Did he... Oh, it's strange. Did he smite him with worms? Or did he kill him and then the worms ate him up?
Seems
like intestinal worms or,
it said,
or like maggots?
It said, and gave up the ghost after it said eaten of worms. So it seems like it happened while he was still living.
Oh, boy.
But I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But that is what it seems.
It's strange, though. He was a heathen to begin with. Right?
Before becoming king?
Yeah, I mean, all along he was a heathen.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's strange that why would he give God glory if he's a heathen?
Guess he just gave him a chance to repent.
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with my power Bible and it's
is it going crazy?
I'm quite distracted. Oh,
I just like to try to get that deeper understanding there, you know what's going on there, because you know there isn't a time that a heathen ever gives God glory for things that go on in their life. What made God strike him down? What was different about that? So I'm just kind of curious, but it doesn't give us enough context there to know, but we'll have to ask Paul or Barnabas about that one later when we get to heaven.
Yeah. I was trying to read back to verse 20 and see, he said that, and the people gave a shout saying, "It is the voice of a God and not of a man."
Yeah, maybe that's it says God's a jealous God.
Yeah,
so when people,
you know, it's his people that he was saying that to.
I'll show you.
And he was like declaring himself to be God. Because yeah. Not only was he.
I think I'm back in business now. let me see, what verse is it where it says he didn't give him glory?
That is verse 23, but the verse before that says, "And the people gave a shout, saying, 'It is the voice of a God and not of a man.'"
And it was almost like they were saying that, and then he just took it on. You know, okay, yeah, I'm not going to give God glory because I'm the God that they're calling out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
that makes sense.
That it's like, and I think we've talked about that too. We even talked about that whenever. It hasn't happened yet, but later, whenever Peter gets confronted by Paul when he's being a hypocrite, how it's not just the sin of a leader, these people that are in leadership, but they have their own personal sin, but then it's their sin is leading other people astray. Mm-hmm. Whenever they start to use their leadership for a wrong purpose to lead other people astray, or even they might not be intentionally knowing that they're leading people astray, but they are, and that's why there has to be correction or judgment, because God protects his people.
And it's like John Wesley said, you know, he willingly received the glory himself, and by this sacrilege filled up the measures of his iniquities, so then vengeance tarried not. In other words, God got him.
came quickly, and immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory and was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost.
Huh.
Yeah, if we did talk about that before, I really don't think we went deep into it because I don't remember going deep into it. So I'm glad that we, you know, kind of looked at that and didn't just gloss over it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a good place to start, beginning of chapter 13, tomorrow.
But, emphasize, too, verse 24, where it says, but the word of God grew
and
multiplied.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
And every time that somebody is struck down and killed by an angel of the Lord, just killed by the Lord, there's the fear of the Lord was there, and, you know, the gospel grew. Mm-hmm. Because people are turning their hearts to the Lord. So,
well, we see that like that with persecution, with or with signs and wonders. You know, whenever, you know, they see the hand of the Lord, you know, then, you know.
It gets our attention.
It gets our attention, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. Well, I guess we could go to break, read our first trivia question, if that's okay with Roger in there. So I will read the first question, Monday question number one. Who was the son of Nun? Now, I think we did get this one.
Wait a minute. That is not right. Okay, hold on just a second.
I know the answer to that one.
Because we did get an answer to this one,
it's,
I remember.
It's the wrong one. Can I read?
Yeah, you read.
Okay. Sorry, Roger. Wait, I'll get y'all a copy. Okay. It said, what... excuse me. What king was guilty of idolatry in making two golden calves and commanding the people to worship them? What king was guilty of idolatry in making two golden calves and commanding the people to worship them?
270-257-2689. We will be back after the break. Oh, he's bringing us back. All right, we are back here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio. And did we get an answer for that first question? We did. Oh, thank you. Brother Gary Cox, he got it. So that was Jeroboam, found in 1 Kings chapter 12. Good job, Brother Gary. So I'll go ahead and give out the second question just to have more time. And we can put Roger to work in there. So I'll go ahead and read it. Who was compelled to bear the cross of Christ to the place of crucifixion? Who was compelled to bear the cross of Christ to the place of crucifixion? This one I would consider decently easy, so I hope somebody gets it.
I can't think of the name of it, though.
Really?
I can't think of his name.
Yes. I think if I wasn't looking at the answer, I would still. But I think
I could not think of it.
I think what helps me, though, is doing the resurrection place. Mm-hmm. It kind of, with the anything leading up to the crucifixion, it kind of makes it stick in your mind when you've looked over a script so many times. So I think somebody, Roger's writing in there, so somebody already got it. So this is a productive morning. Let's see. Miss Kay did want to say something about Herod. In the book Herod and Mary, Kathy Lee Guilford describes it as a slow, agonizing death while the worms ate away at his body.
So. That's what I was thinking. It seems like I've read that before. And I always thought that that account was in the Gospels. I didn't realize it was in Acts. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Interesting. But I do think it's good to show us just that the Lord is going to protect his people.
Mm-hmm.
And he also,
and that he is indeed a jealous God.
Yes, yes. But he also judges his people by allowing these kings to be on the place of power. So there's so many different facets to, because, you know, a question would be like, well, why would he even allow, it says that he puts kings in their places, so why would he even allow Herod to be king? But we see throughout scripture that he allows them to have wicked kings to judge them and hopefully and in hopes that they would turn their hearts back to him. So I think there's a lot of different things that we can get from that.
Right.
So I guess I will go ahead and go into Kingdom Corner, and then if we have some time, we might discuss. Well, we definitely have some Bible questions we can get to. And
I wasn't expecting to be here. So I tried to load Pastor Aaron down with really hard ones.
Uh-oh.
And it kind of backfired on me. So if other people have easy questions, that might be.
Well, we...
there's a few that I had kind of been saving that I didn't really want to submit.
Well, if there's any that are just too hard, we might just save it for Pastor Aaron. Oh, man, that's funny. Unless if any listeners would want us, we could discuss the Turning Point USA halftime show. From it seemed to be a topic, popular topic among Christians right now, whether they liked it, whether they didn't, and we'll be considerate and we won't get into a sinful debate over it. I know that a lot of people get worked up about these kind of things, but I think just to stay, you know, respectful of one another and just be able to discuss it. Usually that's how we do it on Box 2 Radio. So we like it to be a place we can talk about sometimes controversial things, but with respect, love and respect. So, but I will go ahead and I'm going to get into Kingdom Corner and then we'll kind of shift into that later. So, I am going to be in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So, I often break up these verses. I don't always read them together. I've definitely read through it, but sometimes I forget, you know, that some of these awesome verses that are in Galatians are pieced together in the same context. And I love, it's a lot to take in, but I wanted to read it all because I love how they fit so well together. I love the concept of sowing and reaping. I feel like that's been on my heart a lot lately. And I never actually caught there when it was talking to us about, so it's telling us to test our own works, to, you know, bear one another's burdens and to keep ourselves humble. But then it goes on to talking about, before it talks about sowing and reaping, after it's talking about fulfilling the law of Christ, it actually throws in there that we need to, each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. And that verse has always stuck out to me, but I've never really looked into it. And what that's talking about there is sowing into the ones who bring the word to you. It's talking about giving, being generous, being, and I believe it is talking about, I mean, we can always be generous with our time and generous with our encouragement and all those, but I do believe that here this is talking about monetary giving, giving of our what we have to support those who are bringing the word to us. And I just thought that was interesting, and I just like that I noticed that this time, that is what it's saying. And I did want to read this as well, from a commentary on this portion. So they, the flesh planting, it's just kind of a good way to break down where it's talking about sowing into the flesh or sowing into the Spirit. And when talking about, you know, actually physically sowing seed into the ones who bring the word to you, I think that is, it is a natural, it's something that we're doing in the natural, but it is sowing into the Spirit. Because who in their flesh wants to give to another person? Who in their flesh just wants to work for what they have and then give it away? That's not something that our flesh wants to do. Our flesh wants to stay selfish. Our flesh wants to fear that we don't even have enough to make ends meet. So why are we going to give to somebody else? And this just brought a lot of clarity to me that when we give, when the Lord puts it on our heart to give, that it's not about who we're giving to, you know, it's about the obedience of we do it because God told us to do it. And we've talked about this a lot too. I know I'm kind of getting off on a side note, but what if I feel led to give to this person, but I'm afraid that they might spend it on something bad? They might waste it and squander it, or they might spend it on, you know, trying to get something that they shouldn't. And we've talked about that a lot on here, but I believe that, I mean, that's definitely different than supporting someone who's bringing the word of God to you. But I think the principle in it is we even have people who they don't want to give to the Lord. They don't want to tithe and do bring their tithes and offerings because they don't know how the money is being used. in the church. They don't know how the money is being distributed or what decisions are being made, so they don't know whether they should do that or not. And I think that the enemy can really tempt us to be afraid to give because it's going to be misused. And I really do think that's a deception of the enemy, whether it's for a reason that seems logical to us, like somebody who's going to possibly could very well just go use the money for something not of the Lord. But then there's on the flip side, you don't know how money's going to be used even when it is somebody of the Lord. And what if they, you know, there's all these leaders coming out that are falling and having scandals. And what if the church that I'm going to, what if they end up? I think it's a tactic of the enemy to not put your trust in the Lord. And when you're obedient, to just give as his word says, and to be afraid of what could happen. And I think it all does tie into not trusting the Lord with what you have. And what helps us with that is knowing that, first of all, everything that we do have comes from the Lord anyways. So I don't know why I'm touching on that, but it did speak to me on that we can trust the Lord when he leads us to give. And that is part of sowing into the Spirit. Because when we're anytime we're obedient, not just the money thing, if the Lord tells us to do anything, if he tells us to wear this one shirt instead of the other shirt today, he has a reason for it. If the Lord tells us to go and give that person a hug that we don't really want to give a hug because we're very close to them, we're not comfortable giving that person a hug. But whatever it may be that the Lord's leading us to do, those are just random examples that I thought of off the top of my head, but he has a purpose if he's leading you to do something. And that's part of sowing into the Spirit, and you will reap from the Spirit. So in closing, I do want to read, I thought this was a good breakdown of what it means to sow into the flesh versus sow into the Spirit. So it's very simple, but just breaking it down. So flesh planting is self-centered choices, period. It's just anything that's putting yourself first. And the harvest that comes from that planting is decay. It's decay. The harvest in this situation is really, it's not harvest, it's death. It's the wages of sin are death. So it's decay, it's dying. But planting in the Spirit, obedience, is God-centered choices. It's harvest that equals to life that never ends. So even if we never see the fruit of the obedience, that maybe we go give that person a hug and they didn't say a word to us. They just looked at us with a freaked out face, or not freaked out, that almost makes it seem like the Lord didn't have you do it, but I think there's a reason why the Lord told Jeremiah, don't be dismayed at their faces, because we can't be obedient to the Lord based on the reactions of people. We may never see the fruit of the seed that we're sowing, but we know that we will see it in eternity, that we will see one day, we will know, and we know that the things that we're storing up in heaven, it's everlasting. It's going to, the verse that Miss Jeannie loves to read when she comes on with us on Tuesdays is their works followed them as they walked into eternity, as they came into, I'm paraphrasing, but that your works will follow you as you go on to glory, that those things are not burned up. The things that you did out of pure obedience to the Lord, those things won't be burned up in the hay and stubble. And even if we never saw the fruit of it here, I just want to encourage someone that stay the course, just like this says, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap. We may reap while we're here, but we know we're for sure going to reap when we are in the next life with the Lord for eternity. So I just love that, how it broke that down. And then, of course, the do not grow weary ties into Isaiah chapter 40, perseverance and faith. And there's so many scriptures that touch on that. But I just really loved that. And I loved how it tied in even with being obedient and honoring those who bring the word of God to us, and honoring those who are trusted with governing the house of God, because it really releases us from that control of like, well, what if they don't do things right? Or what if all this money that I worked for is just going towards nothing? Like, I think we can rest because the yoke is easy, the burden is light of Christ, to trust him that when we're obedient to him, he will do with that seed what it needs to be done. And if anybody tries to mess with his glory and tries to make a wrong decision and misuse and missteward what we've given to God, and that applies not just with our sowing our monetary seed, but even our time and our heart, pouring our heart out into things, those people will be, each one of us will be held accountable for how we misstewarded things. So that's really helped me to just, you know, try to have more fear of the Lord of how I steward things, but also to let go and know that my trust is in the Lord. My trust is in the Lord, that he will take care of it. So a little bit long of a kingdom corner this morning, but there was just so many good things in that passage. So that's all. And we can get into, thank you for the amen out there. We can get into some Bible questions. If you guys have any Bible questions, please send them our way so that we don't have to get into some of these really hard ones. But we will, I'm going to take a glance at these again. Is there any particular one you remember?
Brother George, he asked a question about this angel of the Lord that smote Herod. Do you think that's the same angel throughout the scriptures? Is this Michael maybe? Or is this, I mean, I know we can't tell.
It would be interesting to try to study it, like mm-hmm. The Greek or the, you know, to go back and look at which words are used.
Yeah.
Because it's used so many times. And we've talked about even recently some of them where we debated whether we thought that in that scenario it was Jesus
right.
or an angel.
Yeah. I don't think this is, you know, because Jesus has already ascended. And it just says an angel of the Lord, I believe, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. Or no, it says the angel.
It says the
angel.
John Wesley says, of this others, historians say nothing.
Yeah. It is interesting. I mean, I don't know if that was...
I think
George said, what a job. You know,
yeah.
That's your...
Who said that?
Brother George Klein.
Oh.
you know, he... I guess, you know, that's your angelic duty to smite people.
So. Yeah.
Well, it does seem like that.
Carry out the vengeance of the Lord, you know, I guess.
Like, I mean, it seemed like Gabriel, his job was always to send a message, you
yeah.
know, and Michael was always fighting devils. And who's the other? Oh, Lucifer.
Yeah.
We know what his job is.
So
to steal,
we
kill and destroy.
We see them more throughout Scripture. So do you think that's why some would side with this being Michael? Because
I don't know.
It's more of a like a execution,
like a warring type thing.
Yeah, because uh-huh. you always hear like he's the war angel, uh-huh. and then
yeah.
Gabriel's the messenger angel.
Yeah. There's no way to know. I mean, it's just interesting the thought. You know, I never really thought about it, really.
Yeah.
Whose job was it?
It would be interesting just to look through every time, every mention of the angel of the Lord or an angel of the Lord, and see what you find.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
On what which ones would seem to be more of a Christophany.
I'm going through some of my commentaries, and John Wesley's the only one that says, and historians say nothing. All the rest of them don't say anything about it that I've seen so far.
All right.
I've noticed there's a lot of times where these commentators, they just bow out. They're like, especially in this King James Study Bible, like, they're just like, some they don't even say a statement like Miss Gretchen's. Like, they just don't say anything.
Yeah.
They just leave out. They don't even try
well,
to
you know, there are things like this. I mean, there's really no way to determine who
yeah,
this was. So,
uh-huh.
you know, but. It is, you know, it's just kind of a speculation thing.
It's nice if you can, we can't say we know for sure, but have something to point people mm-hmm. to that are curious, but yeah.
Well, one thing that I often go back to is, you know, we sometimes forget, you know, these are real people, you know, these are just regular folks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think especially with the apostles and things like that, sometimes I think we over glorify those guys, yeah. And they're just regular guys. They, you know, they put their sandals on just like the rest of us every morning.
Yeah.
I like to kind of always go back to that. You know, how does this apply to me? Because Paul was just a guy just like me, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, what he did for the Lord and through the Lord, you know, is no different than what I could do or should do, you know.
Yeah.
And it's easy to forget that and put people in the scriptures up on some kind of pedestal, but they're just regular guys.
I was just looking up other scripture references, and it's in 2 Samuel 24:17. It says, "And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people." You know, it was just one sound like.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, there yeah. must have been one that was assigned.
That was his job.
Mm-hmm, that was his job.
I wonder, there it doesn't say angel of the Lord.
It just says the angel smote the people.
I wonder why it translates of the Lord in so many other ones. Like, if there's significance in mm-hmm. that, and why. And I know sometimes it is just a translation, like the root word is the same in some mm-hmm. of these instances. And it was just a translation decision to say of the Lord mm-hmm. in some of them. But it would be interesting to look at just to have more context of what was going on there. I know a lot of times we see it in the Old Testament, but for some reason I wasn't realizing that you hear that angel of the Lord mm-hmm. more throughout the New Testament. I didn't really remember that from yeah. Acts. I mean, I knew there was a lot of angelic activity happening.
Right.
But, like, I think it might have also said angel of the Lord when Peter just got rescued out of prison. And we talked about that too. I didn't think that was Jesus, but
I looked it up in just the search engine to see how many times they said the exact phrase angel yeah. of the Lord, 64 times. And it went throughout all the Old and the New Testament.
Yeah. I don't think any of the New Testament references are Jesus, personally. I mean, I don't have anything to back that up, but I believe when he ascended and left the Holy Spirit with us, I believe that his earthly ministry was done. Totally. And that the Holy Spirit is now, you know, what resides in us and operates here on the earth. That's my personal opinion of it.
It is interesting, though, to see, and I in these so far, I think I would agree, because I wouldn't think that it was Jesus, without more signals, I guess,
yeah.
pointing to him.
But I think there'd be recognition from the apostles and
the that's what I would think.
Well, hey,
is
there's Jesus.
Their reaction,
yeah.
their reaction. But I do think it's interesting that even with the Holy Spirit, that there's still angelic activity.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like. That they're still, the Lord sees a need and has a need of them to send them to help his people. Mm-hmm. And we know that that's what their job is, but it is just interesting to see, especially throughout Acts.
All right, we don't have a trivia question now. We're up against the break.
We got it. Elizabeth. Who was
Elizabeth Higdon? That. Okay, mm-hmm. yes, I was. So we got both of our trivias, and we're right at the hard break. So we are going to go to a song, and we will be back with some more Bible discussion. And our guest today is Brother Glenn Robinson. So he's going to be talking about a book that he has written.
Mm-hmm.
I
think it's
already. He has two now.
That's the second one that's been published.
Awesome. So excited for that. And we will be back right after this break. All right, we are back, and we are 2 for 2 on our trivia, so no more trivia for today. Stay tuned for tomorrow's trivia. but good job. Congrats, Brother Gary Cox and Miss Elizabeth Higdon. Thank you guys for getting for being involved with our trivia questions, and we made Brother Jason happy today.
Oh, yeah.
Being 2 for 2 early.
I wasn't a big fan of doing it early, but
oh really?
Should be done on time.
Right on break.
But that's okay.
Well, I was like, somebody is definitely going to get this one.
All right.
So
that's good.
I would rather do it early instead of forget. That was my worry, was maybe forgetting.
All right.
But we have some Bible questions here, but don't hesitate to send your all's Bible questions in this last little segment before we go to the guest segment.
Okay. I had a couple people that responded to me saying that they think the angel of the Lord that does the smiting is the same angel.
Same angel throughout all of Scripture?
That's just their opinion, yeah.
Like their job is that. Yep. Yeah. I can
they are
see
the smiter.
That. So would it be... They smote.
They in the past tense they would have smote them.
They smote, but they are the smiter.
Mm-hmm. They do the smiting.
That it's interesting to think of. I mean, it makes sense, but like we said, we'll never really know for sure.
I was just kind of thinking of all the tenses there.
They had smitten. I think that would be correct.
Yeah.
Past participle. Smote, smiting. No, I'm sorry. Smite, smiting, smote, smitten.
Somebody needs to write like a little paragraph where you can use all of those in the same little story.
I don't want to be smitten by the angel of the Lord.
I saw where someone did a sentence and did every one of them and they're wrong, you know, with the twos, like T-O, T-double-O, and T-W-W-O, and then the theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And all six words was in the one sentence, and every one of them was used incorrectly.
Yeah.
And it was just a joke. You know, it was just a play on word thing.
Well, I see sometimes people make jokes like, I specifically told you not to do that. And then they answer and say, I Atlantically, no, you didn't. Like,
we had a minister here once that he used the word specifically instead of specifically.
Uh-oh.
Which I have trouble getting it out myself. But.
I struck a nerve. No. But things like that, they are funny to me, like calling it out without calling it out, you know, making light of it. But it is, you see more of that, I feel like, on social media than ever before as far as using the wrong words. Which, I mean, I feel like nobody uses perfect grammar, usually, if they're writing, like, captions on things. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you're writing, like, a paragraph for people to read, then it seems like...
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen articles, you know, that news articles or, you know, how sometimes they'll have a statement at the bottom, you know, and be something wrong. Not a lot, but I have seen it, you know, and I was like, oh, that's wrong. did anybody catch that? I don't know if the word judgment, you know, a lot of people spell it with the E. Is it?
I think you can do either.
I think is it in England? Mm-hmm. They use the E in it. But I saw it on a billboard and in a magazine. It was Southern Living, and it was... something that they were advertising, some kind, and something about judgment, it had judgment in it, and
it had the E.
It had the E in it, and so.
I think you can do it either way, and some people try to hip it up a little bit by changing things around.
So which one would be the hip? Would it be the E?
Just whatever is not more common.
The normal one.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to be clever. Yeah. So was the... Turning Point USA halftime show, did it present the gospel message or no?
So, I feel pressure. It's all on me. I did watch it twice just to make sure I was remembering. Well, when I first watched it, I wasn't paying close attention the whole time. I was chasing a baby. But I did go back and just so I could remember, you know. And each song, there wasn't a whole lot of, like, speaking in between songs, like it was majority
just music. Yeah,
and I felt
that's what I was expected.
I felt like the music until the end, which is most people, the artist at the end, a lot of people aren't a fan of because of the
Kid Rock.
Yes, Kid Rock.
Well, he's a heathen.
Yes, but the heathen. Well, really, I think they all seemed, except for maybe one of them. presented to be their music was heathen music. I mean, the lyrics were not God glorifying at all. And I really, honestly, some of them, I didn't think that they were, like, paying tribute to the mission either. Like, outside of
the... Was it, like, pro-America, or was it...
Not really. Like, okay. Some of the songs, just to me, their song choices didn't make sense why they would choose to sing those songs. Hmm. So those were just, like, normal country songs that you would hear. It was pretty much all country artists. But at the end, I will say, like, I was glad. I mean, it's... We've talked about this before, like, when heathens sing hymns or whenever heathens present the gospel. But, I mean, I do think that if it's being presented, then we're just thankful that it's being presented. Yeah. So at the end of the whole show...
It's like the honey in the carcass.
Yeah. The Kid Rock actually was the one who presented the gospel, and he added a lyric to... He didn't write the song that he was singing. It was somebody else's song.
Okay.
But he added a lyric. And that song was probably the most, like... I guess, like, it had wisdom in it. Like, it wasn't, like, a bad song that he was singing. But then he added a verse that was saying, the whole song was about, if you have a chance, then take it. Don't waste your time. Like, if you have a chance, then move and take action. And he added a verse that said, if there's a man hanging on a cross and started singing about Jesus and then said... and while you still have the chance, take it to answer the call, like to surrender your life. So he basically added a new part to that song and then presented the gospel and said there's a chapter that on in the Bible that you all need to read in Isaiah, and you need to clear the dust off your Bible, get it off the shelf. And so he presented the gospel at the end and then called people to read a chapter of the Bible. So that was at pretty much the very end.
Before the game got started again.
Yeah, I guess. So that I was happy to see. It was definitely weird coming from, it felt weird coming from him, but I mean, I just feel like.
Some people think he's saved, a Christian. Who? Some know, Kid Rock.
He doesn't have much fruit if he is.
And that's
why I would even venture to say he doesn't have any fruit.
Well, from his music, like, I wouldn't ever expect him to be saved. Yeah. But a lot of people are saying, like, you can see the transformation that's happened in his life. Somebody else was saying that he usually uses cursing, but in this show he didn't use any cursing.
Yeah. So, I think they had Turning Point folks had talked to him and said, if you're going to, then you're find somewhere else to go.
I was glad to see that at the end, but I can understand why some Christians were upset. Yeah. Like, some Christians are happy and thinking, like, well, praise God. Like, this was, I don't know if I would agree with the ones who say it was awesome. Like, it was overall just amazing, but I was definitely happy to see that at the end.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for
that. I think we should really see it for what it really is. It was entertainment. You know, it was designed to be an alternative to a halftime show that was...
watchable.
Yeah, and I actually saw most of the other halftime show, the real halftime show. and it wasn't vulgar or anything like that. Of course, I couldn't understand a word he said because it was in Spanish. So it may have been vulgar, I don't know. But, I mean, there wasn't anything horrible.
It was in Spanish?
Yeah, the whole thing was in Spanish. Hmm. And I talked to Josue afterwards, and he said he couldn't understand it either. He was talking so fast. But so who knows what was going on. But, I mean, I forgot about it. I was actually filing my taxes and forgot about it. But I had been watching curling all day long. I was knee-deep in curling and totally forgot about the Super Bowl. But anyway, it's just an entertainment thing. And I think what Turning Point was trying to do from the beginning was, let's make sure we have something wholesome, because this fella,
noted for it.
Yeah, he's vulgar. You know.
Do you think they toned him down then?
Who knows?
Yeah.
You know.
Which one?
The bad bunny.
The bad guy.
Yeah.
I know I've seen things like that. He wears dresses.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, cross dresses and is obviously stands for all those.
So I never saw the Turning Point halftime show as a gospel outreach, I just saw it as pro-American and, hey, we're not going to engage in vulgarness.
Yeah.
It's going to be wholesome for families.
I think just because they did pay tribute to Charlie at the end, and we know what he stood for, I think people hoped that it would have more in it, like as paying a tribute to what he stood for, even though, you know, we...
And I'll go back and watch it probably today sometime, but...
I feel like I'm somewhere in the middle, not just to play that card. I don't want to be lukewarm, but like I'm not on the end of it was the worst thing I've ever seen, but I'm not on the end that it was like the best God glory. Like the whole thing was God glorifying. I think if anything was God glorifying, it was Kid Rock. Like he's the one who took that opportunity. And Miss Sia did, text in and said, I think it's noteworthy that he went by a different name at the end. I don't think he wants to be identified as Kid Rock anymore.
I hope not.
So, if he's having a true that's awesome if he's having a true transformation. Yeah. And I did forget to say that he like went by a different name at the end. So, I don't know. I don't really know much about him. But all
I
can say is that I do think if anything was God glorifying, it was that ending where I was happy to hear that the gospel was presented. And I think with the amount of people that were tuned in, I mean, that's going to cause some people to go and read that verse. Like people are going to be going and reading Isaiah, and people are going to be looking into, you know, Jesus more. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad about that.
Is he...
but I'm not endorsing him.
What music
at all? Like country? I don't know. I really.
I couldn't.
So he's not country.
I would recognize him if I saw him.
Crowd,
but I would not recognize any of his.
But he's his own
music or anything.
He's like he's tied in with country, but he's different. Hmm. So I don't really know how to explain.
As a matter of fact, the only time I've ever heard any music from him was at the Republican convention this past time around.
He sang for
President Trump there.
Yeah.
That's the only time I've ever heard any of his music, and I didn't much care for it.
Yeah.
But
so hopefully if he's
I mean, I just don't like that style or anything, but
now the song that he was singing when he added in that verse, it was completely different. Mm. It was a slow acoustic. Yeah. He was just him and a guitar singing and then added that in. So but again, I'm just glad I don't know much about him or really a lot of those artists.
Yeah.
But I was happy on a positive note to see that the gospel being presented. Yeah. So, especially with it ending that way, and then it showed Charlie at the end and his words that he has shared about, you know, faith and family and freedom, basically all of those values. So, I think the ending was good. But I tuned out for a reason in the majority of it, just because I don't like to listen to that type of music anymore that, you know, is talking about just ungodly things with cheating on your partner and getting back at them for this and that. And so, but again, that's to be expected from worldly entertainment.
The comedian that had you had to decide if this was a real country song or if it was a funny. One of them was, if I'd shot her when I aimed to, I'd be out of jail by now.
Probably was real.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, so I guess my review is somewhere in the middle. I am going to praise God for the good seeds that were sown and then pray that all the bad seeds that were sown didn't fall and stick.
I was just trying to figure out how many was watching each one. But
I think it's about 5 million for the Turning Point, and usually it's about 100 million or so for the Super Bowl.
Well, it looks like it was 6.
I saw 16.
It was 6.1 million. Here's one. It says that more than 5 million viewers, and then the other one said the Super Bowl was 6.1 million.
6.1 million?
Mm-hmm.
For the halftime show?
For the halftime show.
Are you sure about that?
I guess that's what they're talking about.
I saw 16 million on the YouTube, like people who had went to the Turning Point halftime show on YouTube.
Well, I'm seeing all these numbers, and I don't know. I didn't want to take the time to read each comment. So.
The last I had heard was a little over 5 million at its peak. I think maybe 16 million total, maybe. But simultaneously, I think it was about 5 million.
Like that tuned in live to which one? To
the Turning Point.
Turning Point.
And then the Super Bowl is usually the highest rated television program of the year. So that's why, you know, they're paying $8 million for a commercial.
And its commercials are, too, because they usually, everybody's...
Which is, you know, you this is always a great example of what we see and what we hear. You know, don't ever let someone tell you that we're not affected by what we see and what we hear, because these Super Bowl advertisements cost $8 million for a 30-second commercial this year. $8 million. They're banking on that 30 seconds. What you see and what you hear will affect you. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I hate the Super Bowl.
I don't know.
I hate everything about it.
I don't know.
I love professional football, but I rarely ever watch the Super Bowl. I hate it.
Well, someone was talking about how it's normally not it's normally not a good game. Like, what you would qualify as just a good football game.
I hate
game.
Everything about it.
But we did have a listener that said they believe that they broke the record this year in the regular Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah.
And they saw like a really big number of like 142 million.
Yeah, it's usually over 100 million for they watch it. The Super Bowl itself. I don't know if that's the halftime show or if the whole thing or what, how they break that down, but it's
who won?
I don't even know.
Seattle won.
I didn't know who was playing. Seattle.
I wouldn't have known who was playing either.
I was sick yesterday, so I've slept a lot. But then in between, I watched six different curling matches from the Olympics. So that's my Super Bowl right there. I was feeling much better, so I was like, well, I'm going to finish my taxes. And that's when I realized that the Super Bowl was on. So I turned it on, and then some people stopped by, so we were visiting with them, and just happened to notice, oh, there's the Bad Bunny, you know.
I didn't even know who that was either.
I didn't either.
Like, I didn't either. It's just crazy when you stay out of, like, pop culture, I guess. Like, and I know a lot of, when I was more in tune with pop culture, but they're not the people I used to know. Now they're not famous anymore. It's all new people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm out of touch. But
I know there was somebody was playing a trivia game, and there was questions, you know, about movies and stuff like that kind of popped up in. And I had no idea whatsoever, you know, what or who they were talking about.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I can't imagine. I mean, because for me, it's only been like 4 years, like, since I've really been out of touch with stuff. So I can't imagine, like, 10, 20, 30. That's crazy. Trends change quickly.
They do. And I know we need to probably get onto other things, but I do want to caution people, you know, be careful about, you know, celebrities and folks like that do proclaim the name of Christ. You know, give them some grace. Don't elevate them too quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're working things out just like the rest of us, but there's so many pressures from the world, from Satan, and in that field of, you know, whether it be music or movies, television, whatever. And so oftentimes we're so quick to elevate people whenever they make a profession of faith or they say something scriptural, biblical, or whatever. And,
I've seen it. Anybody.
Yeah. Just be careful. Mm-hmm. You know, give them time.
It's like you put a target on their back when you do that. Yeah. You know, the enemy's out.
I think it was Billy Sunday, I believe. You know, somebody, some famous person of that day had given their life to the Lord, and someone commented about it, you know, hey, they're, you know, they're a Christian now or whatever. And he said, we'll see. You know, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but, you know, don't be too quick to elevate people to any place.
It would be like just the Herod, how we saw.
Yeah.
You know, any time that you raise them up to, and not really giving them glory, but it's just like, you know, instead of doing that, you need to be praying for their strength, their wisdom, and their understanding of the word and all like that. You know, that's how you can
elevate. Because there's a battle that's going to take place. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any person of any influence in that realm, because it's such a stronghold for Satan. Mm-hmm. Anyone that remotely turns their heart toward the Lord.
That angel's doing what he's assigned to do.
There's going to be a battle that takes place there.
I do know, too, though, like endorsing, I don't even know if I should say endorsing, but bringing too much attention to even like things like Turning Point USA or like the people, the artists who are supporting them and involved, I try to kind of stray away from giving too much like attention to them in my own life because I know that it cuts off a lot of ears of people who need to know Jesus and hear the gospel, and because they have so much, like they're so strongly connected to another political party that they just won't really hear if they know that you're, and it's not that like I'm going to speak truth, but I guess like the conversation that we're having, like we're for truth, we're not necessarily for people like political figures, like we're not loyal to them, we're loyal to truth. So I guess that's what I want people to know. The truth, Jesus. Yes. Like, so I think that does, because I've seen a lot of different Christians, you know, they support, well, people who claim to be Christians. Like the other guy, the Bad Bunny guy, said a statement and people are taking that as, well, he's for the Lord, and because he said something about ending hate, like love will be the thing that's stronger than hate or something to that effect.
The Lord has given me a message about love, and I hope to be able to share it someday before too long, but it is not what the Bad Bunny is talking about. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and I'm upset about the way that the devil has stolen what love is.
I am too.
You know, and folks like the Bad Bunny are playing right into that, to his hand. And we need to, as the believers, we need to take back what true love is.
Yeah. And it does kind of, not that I mean, the Lord can restore, redeem whoever is willing. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord and believe in their heart and confess with their mouth and take up their cross and follow him. Like, I hope that Bad Bunny does that. I really do. But to see people who worship the Lord and confess to be Christians themselves and see them play into those things. Like, you know what I mean? Like that, amen. Amen to Bad Bunny, basically, is like, I'm not saying that just because he's Bad Bunny, but you got to look at more than who the person is. It's the message that they're bringing. It's the agenda behind it that we have to look at, not just a few words that somebody's choosing to say on a poster. So hopefully that's some food for thought for everyone on that. I think we kind of covered most things on the halftime, the Super Bowl and everything. listener said, you're cracking them up saying the Bad Bunny instead of just Bad Bunny. He is the Bad
Bunny. Mr. Bad Bunny.
That's so funny.
Everybody's got different names now. They don't go by their regular name.
Oh, well, somebody did bring up a good point. Now, we are about to go to can we get a quick song in there, Roger? So we can get situated. We are going to we're gonna get to our guest segment, get Brother Glenn in here with us. Looking forward to hearing about this specific book he's talking about. I know he's written too. So we'll be right back here after a quick break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio.
Hello. Not used to being on the radio. My name is Glenn Robinson. I'm 68 years old now.
Wow.
And in my book that I've just written called From the Garden to Goshen, I write about Genesis. Mm-hmm. And one of the people, of course, you write about when you're writing about Genesis is Abraham. And Abraham's really, his calling didn't start till he was 75 years old. So I kind of put myself in the class of Abraham in that one way.
Got a head start on him, too.
Yeah, I got a few years. I was 67 when I published my first book, Jesus in Harmony, which is about the life of Jesus, or I put the four Gospels together in chronological order.
Yeah.
And in this book that I've just written and just published, It actually was supposed to be like the first two or three chapters of what I'm writing right now, which I'm writing about the Exodus right now, which I hope to have that out by the end of the year. And when I started writing, it kept getting bigger and bigger. And I thought, if I do, this will be a giant book if I do all this together. So I went in to decided to do a deeper dive into Genesis. And I not only did I write about what was happening in Genesis, but I wanted to give information about what was happening in the world at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I talk about some of the other countries, you know, just give a little bit of history of what was going on and the Fertile Crescent, which was the only area that had civilization at the time until they spread out after the Tower of Babel. Right. I talk about the Tower of Babel. And I write about Nimrod. Of course, the Bible only tells like two or three verses about Nimrod. But so I went to Josephus and got information what Josephus says about the Tower of Babel. I know Josephus isn't Holy Scripture.
Right.
But I want to add what I was doing is connecting secular and biblical history together. And yeah. Sometimes biblical history is more accurate than the secular history, or most of the time, actually.
Yeah. Well, let's go back real quick, though. So you live there in Litchfield, right? Right.
Yes.
There in Litchfield, and you've been in this area all your life, right?
Yes. So, well, I grew up in Louisville, and I moved around here about 20.
Yeah. At one point, Glenn was my Sunday school teacher, and I'll come back to that in just a few minutes. But tell us about your first book, then we'll work our way forward, because we got a good half hour here, so we'll get them.
My first book, Jesus is in Harmony. It originally was supposed to be a Sunday school class.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you were one of my first students ever because I taught teenage classes here at Bethel. And then I started teaching where I was going, church I went to later. I taught some Sunday school classes there. And then I've taught where I'm going now. I go to Cross Point Baptist Church that's in at the mall. And I was... co-teaching
in Litchfield.
Mm-hmm. And I was co-teaching with another teacher, so I knew I had to write things out good because I was going to do about the life of Jesus. When I started writing it all down, I thought, this is just, I couldn't leave any details out. And as you see the size of that book, it's a 400-page book.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like a textbook. And you could see that.
We go to Fowles.
I didn't leave anything out as far as I can tell. What I did with it is I took the four Gospels, made a chart, put them side by side, then I connected each event and each Gospel, put them together, and then I put them in what I considered to be the chronological order, which mine doesn't agree with many of the chronological orders.
Or
the, many of the harmonies
there,
of the gospel
I don't know which
certain
one to
areas.
Pick, but if there's only one,
one big example of that is the first Passover that Jesus went to as an adult. John has him going there right away.
What time does Hurst
and come? He has one verse, I think it's 2:12, maybe 2:11, in John that says he went to Capernaum. And but in the other Gospels, they have a whole lot of information about what happened at Capernaum. And a lot of the harmonies, they put him going to Passover and then him going to Capernaum.
And you think he went there?
I think that's a big mistake.
You think he went there first?
I think he went there first for a few months.
Okay.
And he called the disciples there first. Yeah. It talks about him having disciples when he went to Passover. But it doesn't have them being called till later, according to most of the harmonies. So mine's a little different. And
is it difficult to harmonize with John? Because John just covers a short period of time there.
In that book, I have statistics. I know some people don't like statistics, but I'm that kind of nut person about things like that. And the Gospel of John only correlates about 7% with the other Gospels when you take everything together.
Yeah.
And one of the most interesting stats that I came up with is, you know, I have like about 180 different events and sections and stuff like that. And over 50% of them are only in one gospel of all the events that happened.
Yeah.
And the amount of time that was covered, which I have to think about this because I haven't looked at it for a while, but the amount of time it covered is only maybe like 6 months, or it's like 50 days is all they actually write about, but not all the same 50 days.
Right. Yeah, in that's each interesting. Gospel. Yeah.
And John, he doesn't talk about very much during the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But from the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when he went to Capernaum,
mm-hmm.
That's in all four Gospels, just the one verse in John. I believe it was the feeding of the 5,000. That's in all four Gospels. And then the triumphal entry is in all four Gospels.
Hmm.
Other than that, you know, it's kind of
they
one
kind of
or
picked
two
into,
or
yeah.
three.
Yeah. That's neat. That's interesting, yeah. All right, so that's your first book, which I bought that one, and I've referred to it several times whenever just kind of studying through the Gospels and all that.
My pastor said this would make a good reference book.
Yeah, it is actually. I've gone to it two or three times. I have it on my coffee table there, where I study my Bible, so just so I don't lose track of it. But it is a good reference, and I would consider that a commentary type book. Yeah, but anyway, but now you've written this one here, the From the Garden to Goshen. And the reason I brought up you being my Sunday school teacher, I remember as a teenager, you had begun to kind of outline all
yeah,
the
that was about when I started.
Yeah. All the ages of, you know, the genealogy, and you kind of had like a chart you were working on.
Yeah.
And how long they lived and the children they had.
I think I still have that chart in my office.
Okay. I remember it, yeah. So I was one of your test students, I guess, early on.
I've been doing Brother Ron's read the Bible through, yeah. But I've decided to do it different than how he laid it out, and because what he was doing was you each day you read five chapters and you read one out of the law, one out of the history, one out of the portraying, with you know, and I was like, I can't keep up with everything if I do it that way. So now I'm doing it like. On Monday, I read five okay. chapters of the law. On Tuesday, I'll read five of you know, history. And so I can kind of follow things a little better, you know, and remember them, you know, what's going on, you know. So I'm all in here now with Abraham and and all that. So.
And when I originally wrote, decided that this was going to have to be a separate book from what I'm writing now,
well, that's a good author trick because you got to get people coming back for more.
Yeah. I may have to, you know, keep
the rest of the
continue
story
as a series. I actually am planning on to keep writing. I was talking to somebody at church yesterday about, you know, that I was writing right now, and he said, "Well, you ought to write all the way through the Bible." And I said, "Well, I'm actually keep planning on writing through the Old Testament. The next book will be about the Judges. Mm-hmm. The next one, I want to put the Kings and the Prophets all together."
Yeah.
You know, kind of
just see the whole
the
time.
I'm going for historical, chronological.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember that, even as a teenager. That was many, many years ago. And you working on that and kind of laying it out for us as young people. And you know, just seeing that the fascination of that whole Genesis account. It's a powerful book, Genesis is.
It really is.
Yeah.
Look, I actually wrote the second half of this book. Let's see, I'm open to table of contents. I wrote the second half first. I started with, it wasn't called chapter 8 then, but but I wrote about, I have a chapter Abram and a chapter Abraham. It's because the chapter was so large, I decided to divide it, and I divided it at his calling. Jacob is divided into two chapters, and then Joshua is divided into two chapters, and the first one I called the arrogant dreamer, and the second one the revealer of secrets, because what Pharaoh called him.
Yeah,
and he was a bit of an arrogant dreamer the way he handled his situation with his brothers
early on. Yeah, got himself in some trouble.
Yeah, and you know, I went through each part, talked about what was going on. I put the timelines with them. I don't think I had life charts. Probably when I was teaching your class, but I made life charts of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph of what was going on at certain ages of each one of them. They're spread out.
Okay. So, like, what was going on during their lifetime. Yeah.
And at their age. I have a chart about the 430-year sojourn of Abraham and his people, and I put all the timeline with that. It's in there. And then I made a chart, the one that you were talking about. I don't have it's not the same as a chart because it wouldn't work in this book,
yeah.
Or that I could figure out how to do it. But I have a chart of from when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden all the way to Moses when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And let's see. I had something in mind and went away.
Well, I was going to ask real quick. I may not have heard it when I had to step away, but what's the start and the ending of the book as far as, like, does it end with Moses?
This one ends with Joseph when they enter the Promised Land.
Okay.
And the book I'm writing now, I start with Moses. Well, I kind of do a little recap of some of the information from this book, and I plan on taking it to the Promised Land. Right, I just finished the chapter on Ten Commandments last week, and so this week I'll be starting on what probably be about all the things that happened at Mount Sinai with the golden calf. Will probably be my next chapter in that. Then I'm going to talk about the laws and the different types of laws and try to get that all in one chapter. That might be a two chapter one there.
There's a lot of laws.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about every law, but just the reasoning behind the
law. You kind of see yourself just going all the way through the Old Testament?
I see that. And the person I was talking to yesterday, I said, I told him I was going to keep going until my dementia kicks in. And then I said, well, Ellen already thinks that my dementia has kicked in. But I think most wives probably think that. So.
Well, this may not be a fair question because really start on this, like I said, when I was a teenager. But how long did it take you to put this book here together?
I started writing on this book. I mean, a lot of thoughts were already in my head. But
sure.
I started writing on this right at the 1st of January. So I wrote this in 10 months.
Wow.
Where I spent 5 years on the first book.
Yeah. But you had a lot of the information already compiled.
Yeah. The life charts I'd made
probably
a few decades ago.
Yeah.
And, of course,
it was a few decades ago now. Now that I think about it. Let's see. It would have been almost four decades ago.
And I write about it in the introduction of the first book, Jesus in Harmony, about I was going to church here.
Mm-hmm.
But you can be going to church someplace and still have a crisis.
Yeah.
And I was having a spiritual crisis, I guess you'd say. I was having a doubting crisis.
Yeah.
And I've read through the Bible probably a half a dozen times through my life. And usually when I start to read through the Bible, it's not because I'm all spiritual. It's because I'm just the opposite.
Yeah.
And I'm not reading and not studying. And that particular time, I got to chapter 5, and I got to so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. And I thought, does these numbers work? Yeah. Is this real? And that's what got me started on this, where I started teaching it in the first place.
And the numbers do work.
And the numbers do work.
Yeah. And it is amazing that, you know, the Bible is, it's not a history book, but the history in it is so accurate.
It is.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
The first few chapters I wrote, I first write about the timeline of man. I talk a little bit about creation and the date of creation, and then I get away from that because the Bible doesn't really tell us how old the earth is.
You know,
certain ones say it's 6,000 years old. Some say it's 6 million years old, 13 million years old. The Bible doesn't say that, which that's not my battle.
Right, yes.
Yeah. Nothing. But I believe approximately 4,004 B.C. is when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden. Were they in the garden 2 weeks? Were they in the garden 2,000 years?
Yeah.
2 million years? You know, that's... The Bible doesn't tell us.
Sure.
The reason God doesn't tell us all that, it's not important.
Yeah.
And some of this stuff I write about is probably not really that important either, but I like looking at the whole picture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I talk about the timeline of man, I have the chart that goes from 4004 BC to Moses,
yeah,
and all the different things that are happening with the patriarchs. The next chapter, I write about the patriarchs and about their ages and stuff. The next chapter, I write about Nimrod and Babel. And there's a book called The Tower of Babel, where she talks about where all the descendants spread throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of go by what he's, you know, says about where all the different peoples went. And then I write about the nations, the birth of the nations. I write about the nations that are listed in Genesis, where they're at, and more information about them. Then I write about the ones in the Fertile Crescent that aren't mentioned in the Bible, mostly.
Yeah.
And then I write about what was going on around the world, and I talk about how they worshipped a little bit. But,
yeah,
you know, just a little brief summaries, nothing major. And then I get into Abraham.
Right.
Abraham and Abraham.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I love to do, you know, when I'm studying something, you know, a topic, is be able to draw on the knowledge of other people. You know, for example, you know, of doing a study on, you know, Ephesians, and those three topics that are brought up in Ephesians 1, I believe it is. Anyway, and so, you know, I pull up different books about Ephesians in the study notes, and, you know, you can use your, you use the internet and stuff nowadays to help out. But boy, it is nice to have a book to come back to and just be able to physically underline things and all that. So to me, this seems like a great resource of any of the individuals or topics discussed in the book of Genesis, where you could come and just draw from the knowledge that, you know, take advantage of all the work that you've put in. So I would see it as a great study reference, you know, and the first book you wrote, The Harmony, I can't think of the name of it again.
Jesus and Harmony.
Yeah. I keep wanting to say Harmony of Jesus, and I know it's not right. But anyway, yeah, it's just a great reference book for me, you know, and I appreciate you putting all that work and effort into it.
This was originally going to be called Journey Through Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Then I looked up on Amazon, and there's a dozen books with that name.
I love this title. Yeah.
I think I'm going to try to stay with that through all my books through the Old Testament, you know, until which is already kicked in.
Your dementia kicked in. You better hurry up and write those books. No. So when do you have any anticipation as to when the Exodus book is going to be done?
I believe I'll have it done this fall.
Okay.
I really think I'll probably be done with my first write through before by the beginning of summer.
Okay.
And, you know, before I was still working full time when I did the first book too.
Sure, yeah.
And I had a lot of hesitation on it because I thought, you know, am I really going to try to publish this?
Yeah, I'm sure it's a you know, intimidating venture.
Yeah.
You know.
And I was at a book fair in E-Town. I've done a few book fairs and sell one or two books.
Yeah.
But I was at a book fair for the Historical Society for Hardin County.
Huh.
And I ended up selling 12 books, 6 of the old books, 6 of the new books, and had a lot of great conversations with people. And that was very encouraging for me to see how people. You know, one woman in particular didn't seem to know much of anything about the Bible. She bought both books because we would talk about different things while she was there. And somebody that doesn't know much about the Bible to have these resources, I thought that was really neat. And so that was encouraging for me to get that kind of feedback.
Sure.
When I first published this book, I was thinking, well, nobody's really reading my other book because it's so big.
Yeah.
and then that weekend, I had like 4 different people tell me where they're at in the book or I finished the book and all that stuff. So
that's good.
It's easy to get discouraged, but it's nice to have people.
Yeah, that feedback. Well, speaking of that, I mean, how can people get a copy of this book from the Garden to Goshen?
Okay, it's on Amazon, and it's available in paperback, Kindle, and now audiobook.
Oh, really?
And my first book became available in November on audiobook, and 3 of them sold in November. And one book sold in Europe in November. I've had two books sell overseas that I don't know about. One sell.
You're international author.
Yeah, I'm an international author now. India and Europe.
Well, who does the audio reading? You?
It's AI. Which,
okay. All right.
Teresa, who's my publisher, she said she picked the best version that doesn't sound as computer generated. And I have listened.
Doesn't sound like Siri.
You can listen to it. When you go to Amazon, they'll play about 5 minutes of the beginning of the book.
I just pulled it up, and it's easy to find. Just type in your title.
Can they get it locally, though, too?
I am going to be at Farmers on Saturday to do a book signing from 8 to 1. If I can find my books that I was supposed to have got 2 weeks ago that got trapped in snow somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm still waiting on a package, too. Yeah. Mine's not as important as yours. But
mine were due right there in the middle of the storm.
May got cold.
Yeah.
Right now, these four books I've got in here are the only ones I've got. But I plan on being there.
Well, I've seen Jesus in Harmony at Farmer's Female, too.
Yeah, she sold 20 books there.
Yeah.
You know, she had them there for a while, for 2-3 months.
Okay. All right.
And let's see, I was going. If you type in my name, which you'd have to remember that, James Glenn Robinson, do the whole three names, it will come up and bring up both books.
And Amazon as well.
Glenn with
on
two
Amazon.
N's. I remember that.
Okay. Well, that's good. So Amazon, or if you're not computer savvy, you can just go to Farmer's Feed Mill on Saturday morning, get you a good meal.
And If the books don't come in, I'm not there. I'll probably do the next Saturday.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, that'd be good for farmers because they may get two Saturdays out of customers for two Saturdays. So.
And again, give those titles one more time so listeners can remember what they need to type in to look up the book.
Okay, the first book was Jesus in Harmony, and it's about the four Gospels being together in chronological order. Mm-hmm. The second book, From the Garden to Goshen. And the reason I put Goshen instead of Egypt is because I talk about it in the book when they went, run out of time, but when Abraham entered Canaan, he was in territory that was partly ran by Egypt, so he was actually in the sojourn as soon as he entered Canaan. He didn't have to pay any tribute to him like some of the other countries and city-states did.
Yeah.
And I explain that in the book, how that worked. So I want to be more specific. My next book will probably be From Egypt, not from Goshen. But
A good catchy title, The Garden to Goshen. You can take advantage of those.
The two G's.
Yeah. It's a catchy title.
And then they could type in my full name, James Glenn Robinson, and both books will come up.
All right.
You heard it here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio.
International author,
James Glenn Robinson. Go ahead and get those books. That's just an awesome interview, and hopefully you all will take advantage of those resources that he has. So thank you so much for coming on with us this morning.
Thank you. That's been fun.
And until next Monday, Brother Jason and Miss Gretchen, and we will be back, Lord willing, 7 a.m. Central Time tomorrow on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.